Alrighty.
Welcome back to
Dark and Creepy Things with
Frank
and
Scout.
Yay. Alright, Scout's turn.
Scout's turn. Wait, we've got to check our patrons.
Okay. Alright, yes.
Yep.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you. So thank you to A. Francis, author of the Bright Side comic. You can find them on
Patreon
and on Facebook and stuff.
Yep.
They write good comics.
Yep. And Bitten by the Bug.
Yeah.
Maker of Japanese textiles.
Thanks, Mum.
You can find Bitten by the Bug on Facebook, Instagram, and Etsy.
Yep. And our regular listeners.
Yep. Sean and Sindel.
Yay. Thanks,
thank you. If you want your name or business read out and or suggest a topic for us, check out our Patreon /. Alrighty.
Yeah.
All right. Alrighty.
Alrighty.
So I have a double banger for you.
That was a poor choice of words.
Was it?
Double banger, really?
Why? What's a double banger?
Doesn't that sound a bit sexual to you at all?
No. You're just interpreting everything as sex.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I have a person.
Hmm.
And then a science-y kind of thing. Are you yawning already?
I'm tired.
Wow.
This is day 4 of work.
Okay. So I'm a person and I guess then, what would you call an element? An element.
I'll just start.
So, Caroline Grylls. Does anyone know Caroline Grylls?
Is she related to Bear Grylls?
I don't know. I don't think so. She was an Australian serial killer.
Of course she was.
Well,
Scouts murder train.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I thought it'd be good to have some Australian content as well. Because we have listeners from everywhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
Please, it's not like the emu war again.
That was funny and very very Australian.
Yeah.
All right. So Caroline Grylls, née Mickelson, born 1888 in Balmain, New South Wales, Australia, and died 6th of October 1960. So I lived to be 72?
Mm.
Yeah-ish. Was an Australian serial killer whose modus operandi was poisoning her victims.
As you do.
Yes. A lot of people, especially women back then, poisoned.
It's easy.
Well, yeah, let's hear how easy. Okay. She was age 71 or 72 when she died. Her cause of death was peritonitis from a ruptured gastric ulcer.
Mm.
Yeah. Other names, Auntie Carrie or Aunt Thelly whilst imprisoned. We'll get to why she was named as Aunt Thelly.
Mm.
Okay. Her penalty ended up being life imprisonment.
Okay.
4 victims, 3 attempted murders. Her span of crimes didn't last too long, maybe 5 years, so 1947 to 1953. Mm. She was caught April 1953. All right, Grylls, not Bear Grylls.
Not Bear Grylls.
No. What's her name again? Caroline Grylls, Aunt Ellie, was born to George Mickelson and Mary in Balmain, Sydney, and married on 22nd of April 1908 to Richard William Grylls, hence the name, last name Grylls. They had 6 children, 5 daughters and a son.
Mm.
She first became a murder suspect in 1947 after the deaths of 4 family members. Her 87-year-old stepmother, Christine Mickelson, relatives by marriage, Angelina Thomas and John Lundberg, and sister-in-law, Mary Ann Mickelson. So 4 people.
And they're all related to her.
2 by marriage, 1 was a stepmother, and 1 is a sister-in-law.
So no one married.
Her immediate family.
No, they're her immediate family, but none related to her by blood.
Well, no.
Well, the stepmother is technically immediate family.
I guess so.
Whatever. Yeah, but none by blood.
Yeah. Authorities tested tea she had given to 2 additional family members, Christine Downey and John Downey of Redfern, on 13th of April 1953, and detected the common household rat poison, thallium.
You sound so dramatic when you're reading these out.
Yeah, you sound boring when you read yours out.
Thanks.
You put me to sleep.
Asshole.
poop. Rills, a short woman, of course, who wore thick rims.
That's such a weird addition of her, of, like, is it relevant?
Or yes.
The fact that short
people,
short.
I think short people are more likely to kill.
That's bullshit.
They're angry.
That's
angry
such bullshit.
Short people.
Because we can't fucking take it out on anything.
Yes.
Yeah, so no, but that has people. No reason to be mentioned in the article.
It's a description.
But why?
Oh, let me finish.
How is it relevant?
Maybe because she looked unassuming. Listen.
Maybe they mentioned that in a sentence. She was short and therefore unassuming.
Well, let me finish, and it sounds like she was unassuming. Grills, a short woman who wore thick-rimmed dark glasses, commonly served her friends and in-laws tea, cakes and biscuits, and lived in Gladesville after the death of her father in 1948. See, she sounds unassuming. Like, she makes people cakes and stuff.
Okay,
keep going. Yeah. She appeared in court charged with 4 murders and 3 attempted murders, the third being Evelyn Lundberg of Redfern, Christine Downey's mother, in October 1953. She was convicted on the 15th of October 1953 and sentenced to death, but her sentence was later changed to life in prison. She became affectionately known as Aunt Thally to other inmates of Sydney's Long Bay Prison. In October 1960, she was rushed to the Prince Henry Hospital at Randwick, where she died from peritonitis from a ruptured gastric ulcer. In the months that followed, more cases of thallium poison were stated, including notably prominent Australian rugby league footballer Bobby Lolham. Lolham? I don't know.
Okay, I see.
It's rugby. No one cares, really. Right. So...
when you say English words, you've got to, like, take
really?
Out half the letters.
That's so ridiculous.
That's why, like, when you look at, like, Gloucestershire, it's like Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
It's just pronounced Gloucester.
Right.
You take out,
really?
Like, half. Yeah, you take out, like, half the letters.
That's strange.
Yeah. I was like, Gloucester or Gloucestershire. Something like that.
All right.
You never pronounce Shire like Shire. You pronounce it like Sh.
Okay. Yeah. So apparently around that time in Australia, Aunt Thally wasn't the only one offing people with thallium. And that's spelled T-H-A-L-L-I-U-M.
And that's all well and good, but I want to know why. Was she just pissed off at everyone?
Yeah, I know, right? I wish it did have more. Well,
in the article.
No, not really. No, there's
does
not.
Anybody has any articles about why she did it or books or something?
I swear, I think I've read it on other articles maybe, but that's not Wikipedia. So that's all the information I have about specifically on Wikipedia about Aunt Thally.
Mm.
So I'll talk a little bit about thallium poisoning and why that worked. And then, how it was a kind of a big thing in Australia in the 50s. So thallium and its compounds are often highly toxic. Contact with skin is dangerous. So, yeah, this is stuff that they were using as rat poison.
Yeah, but they were using a lot of things as rat poison.
Yeah. That's not what we use now as rat poison.
No, God,
is it?
No. We don't even use things like arsenic anymore.
No, true. True. Contact with skin is dangerous and adequate ventilation should be provided when melting this metal. So it's a metal.
Mm-hmm.
Many thallium compounds are highly soluble in water and are readily absorbed through the skin. Thallium is a suspected human carcinogen. As well.
Mm.
Yes.
Do they use it in radiation? Is it radioactive?
I don't know. Not sure. I'll post the link as well.
Yeah.
Part of the reason for thallium's high toxicity is that when present in aqueous solution, so I guess that's like
in water. Yeah.
As the uni, see, this is all going to be a bit sciencey, this section. You're going to have to help me with this.
Is the univalent thallium ion, so
it's a positive ion.
It's a positive ion. It's got, so it's only one positive, not two positive, so univalent.
Yeah.
So it exhibits some similarities with essential alkali metal cations, especially potassium.
Particularly potassium.
Particularly potassium, similar ionic radii. It can thus enter the body via potassium uptake pathways.
Uptake pathways.
Yeah.
What's a potassium uptake pathway?
So if you're ingesting potassium, yeah. We need potassium.
Right, yeah.
Right? We need potassium to survive. And because it's a similar structure to potassium, the body can take it up.
Right.
The same way it would take up potassium.
Does the body go, oh yeah, it's like potassium.
Yeah, it's like right. Potassium. I can use that.
Right.
Right?
Wow.
So that's similar to the fact that, like, I suppose the reason I'm thinking, like, iodine is also an element.
Yeah.
If you give the body radioactive iodine, it goes, oh yeah, I can use this, but it still hurts the body because it's radioactive.
Yes.
And a similar sort of thing, I guess. The body takes up the thallium thinking it's potassium and then hurts itself in the process.
Thallium's toxicity has led to its use, now discontinued in many countries, as a rat and ant poison. Like, oh, imagine if we can get some and get rid of these ants.
We have an ant problem.
Man, this ant problem. Can't find the queen.
Yeah.
Right. Among the distinctive effects of thallium poisoning are hair loss, which led to its initial use as a depilatory... Is that how you say it? Depilatory?
Dilapidatory?
Depilatory.
Dilapidatory.
It's dilap. Depilatory.
Depilatory. Yeah, you're right. Depilatory.
Yeah, that stuff that gets rid of...
Yeah.
Hair,
yeah,
right, body hair. Before its this is before its toxicity was properly appreciated, and damage to peripheral nerves, so victims may experience a sensation of walking on hot coals.
Oh God! Imagine putting that sort of cream shit on your feet or on your legs and be like, why does it feel like my legs are burning? Like always burning because you damaged your nerves.
Yeah. Although the loss of hair only generally occurs in low doses. In high doses, the thallium kills before this can take effect.
Oh God.
Thallium was once an effective murder weapon before its effects became understood and an antidote.
Prussian blue.
Discovered. Do you know Prussian blue?
Prussian blue is a colour.
Right.
I don't know what
how's
that
the
made of.
Wow.
It's made of, must be made of some sort of metal.
Prussian blue is a dark blue pigment produced by oxidation of ferrocyanide salts.
So
it has the, yeah, okay.
So ferrocyanide is iron and cyanide stuck together. Cyanide is carbon and nitrogen stuck together. So it's iron, carbon, nitrogen, it's all stuck together. Which is interesting because cyanide is a poison in and of itself.
Yeah.
So if you have cyanide and iron, it can combat thallium poisoning.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder how they work that out.
Mm.
Indeed, thallium poisoning has been called the prisoner's poison, since thallium is colourless, odourless, and tasteless. It's slow-acting, painful, and wide-ranging symptoms are often suggestive of a host of other illnesses and conditions.
Mm.
So it's got another section on treatment.
What's its symptoms, though?
What?
How do you die? What happens to you when you ingest thallium?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
What is Louis doing right now?
He's eating the air.
Are you sure he's eating air?
It looks like he was licking his paw and then he is eating the air.
No, can you not take batteries? That's not okay.
No, stop that.
All right, so we'll have a look at detection in body fluids. So thallium may be quantitated in blood or urine as a diagnostic tool in clinical poisoning situations or to aid in the
medical legal.
Okay, investigation of suspicious deaths. Normal background blood and urine concentrations in healthy persons are usually less than
1 microgram per litre.
But they are often in the 1 to 10
milligram
litre range in survivors of acute intoxication. Yeah, we'd like to know, like, what the symptoms are.
Here we go. emedicine.medscape.com.
Yes.
Thallium toxicity clinical presentation. Clinical presentation can vary depending on the type, severity, and time frame of exposure. Acute thallium poisoning is primarily characterized by gastrointestinal, neurological, and dermatological symptoms, while neurologic findings predominate with chronic exposure and tend to progress even despite decreasing the blood thallium levels. So gastrointestinal symptoms predominate early. Most common being abdominal pain with nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation. It's important to remember...
Are you poisoning me with...
No. It's important to remember that unlike other metal salt exposures, gastrointestinal findings in thallium toxicity may be mild or inconsistent. especially in chronic poisoning. So if someone's chronically exposed to it, you might not even see the gastrointestinal symptoms.
Oh, wow. What might you see then?
La, 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 la.
Or hair loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skin irritation.
I don't have access to this. I don't have unlimited access to Medscape.
Okay, so that's all right.
Read the rest of their shit.
That's all right, we'll move on.
Yeah.
I just assume you get pretty sick.
I assume it's like most metal poisonings, where like...
I think it just builds up in your system and you get
hair
really bloody sick.
Out
yeah.
And
yeah.
Liver gets shot.
Yeah. All right. So then we go into Australia's thallium craze, and it's in quotation marks, thallium craze. In Australia in the early 1950s, there was a notable spate of cases of murder or attempted murder by thallium poisoning. At this time, and it wasn't just Aunt Thallie, Caroline Grills. At this time, due to the chronic rat infestation problems in overcrowded inner city suburbs, notably in Sydney. Yes, Sydney, you and your rats.
And the water in Sydney.
And thallium's effectiveness as a rat poison, it was still readily available over the counter in New South Wales, where thallium sulfate was marketed as a commercial rat bait under the brand Thalrat. Oh my god. Thalrat. That's great. In September 1952, Yvonne Gladys Fletcher, a housewife and mother of two from the inner city Sydney suburb of Newtown, was charged and tried for the murders of both her first husband, Desmond Butler, who died in 1948, and her abusive second husband, Bertrand or Bluey Fletcher, a rat bait layer who from Yvonne had obtained the thallium poison that she used to kill him earlier that year.
So he was the person who laid rat bait and died by rat bait.
Yeah, which I guess would look less suspicious.
Yeah, how had they determined that was a murder? Surely they could have just gone, oh, he was a rat bait layer, he died of chronic thallium poisoning.
Well, there
something.
We go.
Like it was an accident.
Suspicions were raised after it became obvious to friends and neighbours that Bluey Fletcher was suffering from the same fatal illness that had killed Yvonne's first husband.
Oh, God.
Don't keep the same friends around.
Yeah, don't get the same friends. Don't use the same thing twice.
A police investigation led to the exhumation and testing of Desmond Butler's remains of the first husband, which showed clear evidence of thallium, and this led to Yvonne being convicted of Butler's murder. She was sentenced to death, but this was subsequently commuted to life imprisonment after the New South Wales government abolished the death penalty. Ah, oh, that's why these people kept getting sentenced to death, and they're like, oh, we don't have death penalty anymore, so just going to keep you for life. She was eventually released in 1964.
Yeah, the whole idea is of life in prison just means 15 years.
Pretty much.
Doesn't actually mean life, really.
Yeah.
There's life without parole, which means you never get out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Life means, you can still...
Yeah, you can get parole after... Usually you can gain parole after 15 years or something.
At the time of the trial, it was reported that this was the first known case in Australia of a person being convicted of murder by administering thallium. The Fletcher case is also notable for the fact that one of the arresting officers was Sydney Detective Fred Cray, K-R-A-H-E, Cray.
Cray.
Okay. Who later became notorious for his suspected close involvement with elements of Sydney's organised crime scene and his alleged involvement in the disappearance of social activist Juanita Nielsen. Interesting. A month later, in October 1952, Bathurst grandmother Ruby Norton was tried for the murder of her daughter's fiancé, Williams.
Don't like the dude you're going to marry, going to kill him instead.
Ellen Williams, who died of thallium poisoning at Cowra Hospital in July 1952. Despite allegations that Norton hated all the men in her family and Williams was an unwanted son-in-law, Norton was acquitted.
Oh.
Mm.
So she didn't get...
No.
...charged?
No.
Oh.
How's that work?
That's weird.
Yeah. Then in 1953... Sydney woman Veronica Monty, 45, was tried for the attempted murder of her son-in-law, noted Balmain and Australian rugby league player Bob. How do you say that again?
Lollum.
Lollum, right, that English thing, Lollum, who was treated for thallium poisoning in 1952. After separating from her husband, Monty had moved in with her daughter Judy and Judy's husband, Bob Lollum. The sensational trial revealed that Lollum and Monty had an intimate relationship.
Oh, God.
While Lollum's wife was at Sunday Mass.
Ugh, getting on with the mother-in-law.
The mother-in-law, yeah. Monty was found not guilty. Judy Lollum divorced her husband as a result of the revelations about his affair.
I think I would.
Yeah. And Veronica Monty killed herself with thallium in 1955. Aww. Oh, poor Monty.
That's a bit sad.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, don't get it on with your fucking son-in-law. That's just weird.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so she attempted to kill the son-in-law, but then ended up killing herself. No.
But why did she attempt to kill the son-in-law? Did he try to break it off?
Yeah,
something?
I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In July 1953, Sydney woman Beryl Haig was tried for maliciously administering thallium and endangering her husband's life. It's all in quotation marks.
So not actually murder.
No, nearly. Haig confessed to buying Thalrat from a corner shop.
As you do.
And putting it in her husband's tea. As you do. Because she wanted to, quote, give him a headache to repay the many headaches he had given me in violent disputes.
Oh dear.
Yeah. In 1953, I don't even know this one, Australian Caroline Grills was sentenced to life in prison after three family members and a close family friend died. Authorities found thallium in tea that she had given to two additional family members. Grills spent the rest of her life in Sydney's Long Bay Jail, where fellow inmates dubbed her Aunt Thally. That's what we read before.
Yep.
The Australian TV documentary Recipe for Murder, released in 2011, I haven't seen that, examined three of the most sensational and widely reported Australian thallium poisonings, the Fletcher, Monty, and Grills cases. Surely going to have to look for that. Okay, other notable cases. This is, yeah, outside of Australia. Felix Roland Mumi, a Cameroonian leader, was assassinated with thallium in Geneva on 3rd of November 1960 by a former agent of the SDECE, French Secret Service, probably at the request of Cameroonian authorities. No, Claudia, you said it. In 1971, thallium was the main poison that Graham Frederick Young used to poison around 70 people in the English village of Bovingdon, Hertfordshire, of whom three died. So he poisoned about 73 of them.
He poisoned 70 people, but only three of them died.
Yeah. Didn't use enough, obviously.
Hmm.
Yeah. From 1976 to late 1979, thallium was used as a chemical warfare agent, most notably by a unit of the British South Africa Police, or BSAP, attached to the Sealer Scouts during the Rhodesian Bush War. In 1977, a 19-month-old girl living in Qatar fell ill due to thallium poisoning from pesticides used by her parents. While doctors were unable to identify the cause, a nurse named Marsha Maitland managed to do it from the description of the symptoms given in The Pale Horse. I think that's a work of fiction. And there's fictional stuff in here too.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. In summer 1981... Good summer. The East German Secret Service, Stasi, poisoned descendant Wolfgang Welsch, who had previously been expelled to West Germany on his holiday in Israel. He barely survived. So it seems a lot of people do survive.
Yes, I think it's like a lot of heavy metal poisoning. If you catch it quick enough, you can administer an antidote and you can survive. But yeah. Has to be quick enough.
Yes. In 1987, In 1987, in Kiev, a woman named Tamara Ivanutina was arrested along with her older sister and parents. They were found guilty of 40 cases of poisoning, 13 of them lethal, with Skleriki solution obtained from an acquaintance working at a geology institute. What's Skleriki solution?
You have to click on it and find out.
It's an aqueous solution of equal parts of thallium formate and thallium melanate.
Okay.
It's also free-flowing and odorless, but its color fades from yellowish to colorless when diluted.
So it must be something that's involved in geology, because they got it from a geology friend.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
That's weird.
Yep, Tamara, guilty of 9 deaths, including 4 children, was executed.
Mm.
One of the 3 documented cases of women receiving the capital punishment in post-Stalin Soviet Union.
What happened to the parents?
Her relatives received prison terms, the parents dying in jail.
Mm.
There you go. In 1988, members of the Carr family from Alturas, Polk County, Florida, fell ill from what appeared to be thallium poisoning. Peggy Carr, the mother, died slowly and painfully from the poison. Her son and stepson were critically ill, but eventually recovered. The Carr's neighbour, chemist George J. Treppel, was convicted of murdering Mrs. Carr and attempting to murder her family and sentenced to death. The thallium was slipped into bottles of Coca-Cola at the Carr and Treppel homes. I'd like to know why, though. Why did all these people...
Yeah, where are all the motives? Why did you do it?
Mm.
Like, okay, you did it, but why did you...
Yeah, yeah. Thallium was the poison of choice for Saddam Hussein to use on descendants, which even allowed for them to immigrate before dying.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He was a weird dude.
Yeah. In 1995, Zhu Ling was the victim of an unsolved attempted thallium poisoning in Beijing, China. In 1994, Zhu Ling was a sophomore studying physical chemistry at Tsinghua University in Beijing. She began to show strange and debilitating symptoms by the end of 1994, when she reported experiencing acute stomach pain and extensive hair loss.
Yeah, so the chronic symptoms as well.
Ultimately, she was diagnosed on Usenet, so a website.
Oh.
Yeah. With poisoning by thallium. To this day, there is still speculation among Chinese expatriates overseas as to the prisoner's identity. The only suspect of the police investigation, Sun Wei, is a member of a family with high-level political connections, which may have been used to halt and suppress the results of the investigation.
Mm.
Sun Wei was Zhu Ling's classmate and roommate at the university from 1992 to 1997.
Right.
The university also said she was the only student who had access to thallium compound at the school. The investigation's results have never been released to Zhu Ling's parents or the general public. However, the university declined to issue Sun Wei's BS certificate, Bachelor of Science certificate, and refused to provide her with the documentation needed to get a passport or visa in 1997. In 2018, just last year, the victim's hair had been examined by the University of Maryland geologist Richard Ash using laser ablation. Laser ablation ICP-MS mass spectrometry. He was able to confirm the timeline and the pattern of poisoning.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mass spec is really powerful. We use it at work.
Ooh, mass spec.
Mass spectrometry.
Yeah, mass spec is like a cool way. That's only 10 years later.
Yeah. If you can, hair's really interesting. Because it's kind of like trees. You know how trees have like...
branches?
No, trees have rings.
Yes.
When you cut trees and they have rings and botanists can tell what years the tree had drought or the tree had lots of rain or it was diseased or whatever. Mm. You can do that with hair.
So really?
Yeah. So like as your hair grows, different things happen. So like as it say you're really, really malnourished right now and it grows out and then it keeps growing and then you're good and nourished again, they can sort of figure out that period at which you were malnourished based on where it is in your hair.
Wow.
Yeah. So that kind of like age rings in a tree.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
In 1999, Norwegian Terje Wiik was sentenced to 21 years prison for poisoning his girlfriend with thallium. In June 2004, 25 Russian soldiers earned honourable mentions in the Darwin Awards after becoming ill from thallium exposure when they found a can of mysterious white powder in a rubbish dump on their base at Khabarovsk in the Russian Far East. Oblivious to the danger of misusing an unidentified white powder from a military dump site, because, you know, why wouldn't you suspect, like, opening a can of white powder? With the conscripts added to it, to the white powder, they added tobacco, and used it as a substitute for talcum powder on their feet.
What?
Oh, they added it to tobacco, so they must have smoked it, and then used it as a substitute for talcum powder on their feet.
Why? Why? You're on a military base. Yeah. Why don't you just pick up a random can of white powder? You don't know whether that's some sort of weird psychoactive drug or something completely
harmless. Maybe that's what they're hoping for, but they got poison.
They must have smoked it and then realised it didn't do anything, so then used it as talcum powder instead.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been fucking cocaine.
Yeah, but they're slowly poisoning them instead. They became really ill. They should have died, really. In 2000...
Did they not die?
No, I don't think so.
Well, Darwin Awards means they died.
No, honourable mentions.
Honourable mentions doesn't necessarily mean they didn't die.
Okay, well, it says they earned honourable mentions after becoming ill from thallium exposure.
Oh, well, it doesn't say, it doesn't say that they died.
No. In 2005, a 17-year-old girl in Shizuoka, Japan, admitted to attempting to murder her mother by lacing her tea with thallium, causing a national scandal.
How old was the girl?
17.
Oh, God, okay.
Good age for wanting to kill your mother, really.
I think everyone wants to kill their parents at some point in their teenage
years. Yeah. In February 2007, two Americans, Marina and Yana Kovalevsky, a mother and daughter, visiting Russia, were hospitalized for thallium poisoning. Both had immigrated from the Soviet Union to the United States in 1991 and had made several trips to Russia since then. In February 2008, members of an Iraqi Air Force club and some of their children were poisoned by cake laced with thallium. Two of the children died.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why? But why?
I know. So
who did it and so why? Many,
like, this happened and this happened, but why? What was the motive?
Why?
In 2011, I mean, there are like references and stuff that will just include a lot more researching into each case.
Yeah.
In 2011, a chemist at Bristol Myers Squibb in New Jersey.
Bristol Myers Squibb?
Yes.
What is that?
Is that a company?
Is it a school?
It's a pharmaceutical company.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's headquartered in New York City.
Go on.
Was charged with the murder of her husband. According to an investigation by the Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office, Lee Tynell was able to obtain a chemical, this person, able to obtain a chemical containing thallium and fed it to her husband. Lee was a chemistry student at Beijing University at the time of the highly publicized thallium poisoning of Zhu Ling in 1995 at the neighboring Tsinghua University.
So, wait. So, the person who was murdered at the university, who was murdered by her roommate.
No.
How does that relate to this case?
Oh, that they were neighboring universities and they got the thallium at about the same time.
Oh.
Apparently.
Okay.
Well, no, she was at the neighbouring university at the time of the other case back in 95. And now she was, then in 2011 at the pharmaceutical company in New York.
Yeah.
And then did the same thing to her husband.
Ah, so copycat crime.
Yeah, probably copycat, yeah. In 2012... a chemistry postgraduate... I'm not trusting chemists anymore.
Chemists are weird people.
Yeah. In 2012, a chemistry postgraduate student at the University of Southampton, UK, was found to be suffering from the effects of thallium and arsenic poisoning after presenting with neurological symptoms. The student underwent an intensive course of treatment, and although he has shown improvement, faces an uncertain long-term prognosis for the recovery of full locomotion. Urine screening revealed elevated thallium levels in a small number of other members of the chemistry department, though none were at toxic levels. The source of the poisoning remains unknown.
So he was poisoned working in the chemistry lab, but nobody knows why.
Yeah, and the other people have him in their system as well, but nobody knows why. Toxic levels. No.
That's weird.
Although police investigations were fruitless, foul play is strongly suspected.
Oh, so they expected he was poisoned.
Mm.
Getting out your peer-reviewed journal before someone else's is nasty business in the scientific world.
Yes.
It is a thing, though. Yeah, go on.
Poisoning other people.
I mean, that is a thing, but... Mm-hmm. About whether or not getting out your research before someone else you know is worth researching the same thing, getting your paper out before theirs.
No. In 2018, authorities charged Yukai Yang, a student at Lehigh University, with the attempted murder of his roommate, Joanne Royal. Yang allegedly poisoned Royal with thallium and possibly other chemicals. This was just last year. Royal experienced vomiting, pain, and numbness in his lower extremities. Must do something to the nerves. Yeah. And a long-lasting burning sensation on his tongue.
Mm. Must have been. He must have been drinking it.
Yeah, eating it. Tea. Yeah. Again, why?
I reckon the roommate ones are like, you forget to wash the dishes all the time, yeah. So I'm going to poison you.
Pretty much. Where were they getting the thallium?
Well, rat poison. It must be still be used in places like China, though.
Mm, maybe. The chemist... Oh, no, it's been... You can't get it in America anymore, or can't Australia. Can't get it
here.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen it. It's not something that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Now we're up to thallium infection.
Thallium addiction.
Thallium in. Fiction. Anne Marsh used thallium acetate in her 1947 detective novel, Final Curtain. It was being used legitimately for scalp problems in a group of school children just after World War II, housed in a private estate. A relative living there used it in place of the heart medicine intended for the owner.
Ooh.
Agatha Christie, who worked as an apothecary's assistant, used thallium in 1961 as the agent of murder in her detective fiction novel, The Pale Horse. Didn't that come up on the other stories before?
Someone said they knew the symptoms because of
The Pale Horse.
Yeah.
The first clue to the murder method coming from the hair loss of the victims.
Okay.
This novel is notable as being credited with having saved at least two lives after readers recognized the symptoms of thallium poisoning that Christie described. Good author. The Pale Horse was found among possessions of convicted thallium poisoner George Treeple's wife, the orthopaedic surgeon, Dr. Diana Carr. He has the Carr case.
No.
No, and it was someone else who was herself considered a suspect in the Peggy Carr, no relation. Oh, murder for a long time. That's weird. Mm. Yeah. In Nigel Williams' 1990 novel, The Wimbledon Poisoner, Henry Farr uses thallium to baste a roast chicken in a failed attempt to murder his wife. I'm so going to use thallium in a story once.
Baste a roast chicken with thallium. Yeah, that'd be
an interesting way to do it too. Thallium, but it failed. Thallium figures prominently in the 1995 film The Young Poisoner's Handbook. I think I've heard of that. A dark comedy loosely based on the life of Graham Frederick Young. There you go.
So it reminds me of The Young Doctors.
Yeah,
which
is
the same.
No, it's not. This is earlier. The Big Nothing. In Big Nothing, Josie is the Wyoming widow, a murderer who befriended men and killed them with whiskey laced with highly concentrated thallium. In the 2010 episode, Whatever It Takes, of House.
Ooh,
House.
Oh, yeah.
A character uses thallium to poison a patient to mimic the effects of polio, then appear to cure it with ultra-high doses of vitamin C. I don't remember that episode.
I'm sorry, that's so stupid.
Yeah. In the NCIS episode Dead Man Walking from 2007, thallium-laced cigars are used to murder a naval officer. Paige Turner, the name of a 2008 episode of CSI New York, has radioactive thallium poisoning as its central theme. In the 2010 film Edge of Darkness, thallium is used to poison both the main character and his daughter.
Mm.
In the 2015 James Bond film Spectre, the organization of the same name used thallium to poison Mr. White by lacing his mobile phone with it.
What? Yeah. It's not ingesting his mobile phone. That sounds a little bit far-fetched.
In season 3 of Royal Pains, I liked that show, the mysterious German billionaire Boris Christoph von Jürgensratz was poisoned by thallium added to his pool's water. I think I remember that.
You need to add quite a bit to poison someone by pool water.
Drop Dead Diva episode Ashes to Ashes, thallium was used to murder a client's husband, affecting the client when she ate the cremation remains. Drop Dead Diva's a witch.
Why would you eat? It's fiction. No, that's so gross, though. Why would anyone think I'm going to eat my dead husband?
You're not going to eat your dead husband?
No. I'm not going to eat anyone dead, thank you. It's like the equivalent... That's just like cannibalism. But just because someone's been burnt doesn't make it any less cannibalism.
In 2016 TVB drama Two Steps from Heaven, thallium was used to poison Bosco Wong's character. Bosco Wong. In season 6, episode 10 of the Father Brown series, Hercule Flambeau's wife poisons Father Brown with thallium in order to induce Flambeau to exchange a religious relic for her giving Brown the antidote. Guessing the substance to his wife used, Flambeau gives Brown clues as to the antidote, Prussian blue.
Prussian blue.
In the short story Just a Taste, in the collection The Horrors Hiding in Plain Sight from 2018 by Rebecca Rowland, the main character, Sadie Sorensen, poisons her farmhand as well as her three children using rat poison containing thallium.
So dramatic.
I know. The story takes place in the mid-20th century and use of the chemical as a rodenticide ceased in 1965. There we go. So that's, yeah, lots of... It's no longer a... it's not a very original way to poison people,
no,
is it?
No, it's really not.
And it's really been used a lot.
Well, if people are thinking poison, though... I usually think, like, the chemical poisons are cyanide and arsenic.
Yeah, but that's why thallium was, like, it stemmed, that's when people, like, caught on to the whole arsenic thing, because that was early in, like, the 40s.
Yeah, and
earlier,
cyanide
before that,
was
right?
After that.
Yeah.
Because cyanide was also used, like, cyanide pills.
Yeah, like Hitler and...
Yeah, because if you were a spy,
yes,
you would rather die than get caught.
Exactly.
So cyanide pills were a thing.
Yeah. And then that's come later because wasn't cyanide and arsenic pretty easily detectable?
They were both rat poisons and, yeah, they were very easily detectable.
Yeah, because I don't think they were odourless and tasteless and colourless like thallium.
No, they were. I don't think so.
I don't think they were. I assume they weren't because, yeah, it became pretty... Suds become obvious if someone had stuff in their drink and they wouldn't drink it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's so many leaks and stuff. And, yeah, you can even go on to the thallium poisoning case of Zhu Ling, the one from China.
Yep.
Or even Bob Rollum, the rugby player, but no one really cares about rugby players. yeah. Yeah, and I definitely want to check out that recipe for murder. I'm going to try to find that now, actually.
Oh, you're funny.
Why? That's fascinating. But
why the fuck did they do it?
Aunt Thally did it and killed... Like, it's interesting to me, back to the case we started with Aunt Thally.
Yeah.
Like, why did she kill, was it her sister-in-law?
Yeah.
Her
stepmother.
Yeah, stepfather or something.
And her family friend.
Yeah, like, they weren't her immediate family.
They weren't blood relatives.
No, and they weren't her husband, they weren't her children.
No.
Like, it's interesting. Like, what pissed her off to make her do that?
Just a stupid extended family.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even then.
I want to know why the roommates kills.
Oh, well, we could go into the Zhu Ling.
Well, for those of you who are interested.
What are you looking at?
Signs and symptoms of thallium ingestion.
Oh, yeah? Tell us what the signs
often
and symptoms are.
Often begin with... gastroenteritis, severe abdominal pain, cramping, vomiting, diarrhea during the first 6 hours. They last for 12 to 96 hours.
Wow.
Constipation often occurs for several days after diarrhea has resolved. Patients with chronic poisoning may have few or no gastrointestinal findings. Thallium inhalation leads initially to cough and pleuritic chest pain persisting for several days. After 1 to 5 days, systemic symptoms begin to develop. Neurological symptoms usually predominate secondary to predilection of thallium for nerve tissue. Findings include painful, rapidly ascending sensory neuropathy, motor neuropathy may accompany sensory neuropathy, but rarely occurs alone. So in other words, they can feel like pins and needles, hotness, all that crap, and also might not be able to move them that much. Patients commonly complain of severe pain and burning in the feet, difficulty walking, skeletal muscle cramps, and stocking glove numbness and tingling. Mm. Both oral and inhalational exposures may lead to pneumonitis and pulmonary edema.
Yeah.
Respiratory depression may occur from neurological dysfunction of the respiratory muscles. Nystagmus, confusion, anxiety, terror, ataxia, atopic neuritis, altered mental status, seizures, and coma may also occur. There are many more things, but... Oh, and alopecia, a hallmark of thallium poisoning, occurs 7 to 12 days after symptoms begin. Hair loss commonly involves the scalp, often involves body hair, and is generally not permanent. Complete hair loss usually occurs 1 month post-exposure.
But I want to know why, like, I can understand, you know what, it's the weirdest thing. You can understand why spouses kill each other. You can understand why parents kill children. No, yes. But you can,
and
though.
And why children would try off their parents,
These are, like, the two relationships that you can understand get so tense.
Yeah.
That the only thing you think you can do is kill someone.
Yeah, but I don't understand doing it for, like, a...
distant relatives?
Or even... Or maybe you could with a housemate, I guess.
Yeah, if you're living with someone, it's a different story.
Yeah.
I suppose with a housemate, though, like, you feel like you'd have more power to say, fuck off, and go find your own place. True. But I suppose if they were... The Chinese ones sound like they were roommates at uni.
Yeah.
You don't really have the power to kick out your roommate. Like, your roommate's put there by the university. You don't have the power to remove them.
Yeah.
Well, I just read that article where I got the symptoms from.
Mm.
It presented a case that a guy had ingested thallium as a suicide method, but he had sourced it from, in quotation marks, the old Soviet Union. So in other words, thallium must still be used in places like China.
Yes.
And in remote places of Russia.
Yeah.
So places that aren't as in the Cold War era, weren't as developed, so they hadn't developed new methods to kill pests yet.
Yeah.
So they relied on the older, cheaper methods.
Yes.
Which meant that the drugs were still available.
Mm.
Whereas, I guess, in Australia and the US and the UK, we had developed other methods of killing those pests, so they prohibited thallium, which they didn't do in places like Russia and China.
Yeah. But going back to this, the case of Zhu Ling, though, the one that's at the university, it's lucky that her friend, Bei Zixing, thought to post the symptoms on Usenet. Mm. So her symptoms were posted on the internet via a Usenet news group by her friend from Peking University.
Yeah.
Zixing, and was subsequently proven to be caused by thallium poisoning. Her case was then reviewed by physicians in many different countries who examined her symptoms and made suggestions as to diagnoses and treatment.
Hmm.
Her life, because of her friend posting these symptoms on Usenet, was ultimately saved, but she suffered serious neurological damage and permanent physical impairment.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So she didn't die, though?
No, she didn't die. Her life was saved, and I found...
I thought she did die.
No, she didn't.
Was that a different case? Something?
Mm.
There's so many, they're all bleeding into one.
Yeah, I know, right? She began to show strange and debilitating symptoms at the end of 1994 when she reported experiencing acute stomach pain along with extensive hair loss. Following her hospitalisation at Tong Ren Hospital, her condition gradually improved, and then she was allowed to return to school.
Mm.
So she started to get better, returned to school.
Yeah.
And then the following March, however, her old symptoms returned worse than before.
Okay.
So obviously she's got the issues at school.
Yeah.
Right? This time accompanied by pain in her legs, loss of muscular eye control, and partial facial paralysis.
Mm.
Unable to breathe on her own, she was placed on a respirator. So she's come back from her hospitalisation, and whoever's trying to offer...
Has gone back to doing it.
Yeah, but probably giving her more.
Yeah, realised it wasn't enough to kill her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this student, Zhu Ling, then denied that she had any contact with thallium in class.
Yep.
A claim that was confirmed by a university's chemistry department.
Like, yep. Yeah,
she hasn't been using any thallium. As a result, her doctors ruled out thallium poisoning as a potential cause then.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were like, why not bloody do a test?
Yeah, like...
And said she was diagnosed with and treated for Guillain-Barre syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a neurological
disease. Yeah, yeah, her condition deteriorated rapidly. So then, frustrated with local physicians' inability to help Zuling, her friends, Pei Quanjing and Bei Zhicheng, undergraduate students in Peking University, posted an SOS letter on a number of internet Usenet groups on April 10th, 1995, describing their friend's symptoms and asking for help with the diagnosis. It was remarkable that by 1995, only a few research institutes in China had internet connections, including Pai's advisor, which is one of her friends.
Yeah.
Responses began pouring in within a matter of hours, and news reports hailed the event as a milestone in remote diagnosis by internet, especially in China. Of the more than 1,500 responses which Zhu Ling's friends received, roughly one-third proposed that she was suffering from thallium poisoning, the common antidote for which is known as Prussian blue.
Prussian blue.
Yeah, we should all know this by now. Subsequent tests confirmed that Zhu Ling had extraordinarily high levels of thallium in her body, about 10,000 times more than normal people.
Oh, Jesus.
Doctors, why didn't they bloody test this in the first place? Like the first hospital stay. Doctors were able to administer the antidote, Prussian blue, in time to save her life, but she sustained serious permanent neurological damage. While she has recovered the ability to breathe on her own, she still cannot speak. Oh, no. And remains largely paralyzed and almost blind, with severely reduced mental function. In addition, she has contracted hepatitis C from a tainted blood transfusion.
Ugh.
That's fucked. Poor thing. So the police began investigating the case in May 1995. It was not until January 2006, 11 years later, that police finally revealed to the media that their initial investigations had yielded a possible suspect. No explanation was given for the delay in releasing this information, and no one has yet been formally charged in connection with the case. That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially for her family and friends. The primary investigator, Li Shuzhen, told a correspondent from Southern People Weekly in a January 2006 phone interview that investigators have in fact reached some important conclusions regarding the case, but that the information is too sensitive to be released to the public at this time. That is bullshit.
Yeah, that's pretty shit.
The main suspect after police investigation is Sun Wei, born August 20th, 1973, who was Zhu Ling's classmate and roommate at the university from 92 to 97. Tsinghua University also said Sun Wei was the only student who would have had official access to thallium compound among the students with close relationship to Zhu Ling, according to Zhu Ling's lawyer, Zhang Ji. The authorities refused to release the results of their investigation to Zhu Ling's parents after they appealed. That's so frustrating and awful.
Really? No.
What's Louis doing?
He's breathing into the microphone.
Oh, he's saying hi.
Louis said hi, everyone.
However, Tsinghua University denied to issue Sun Wei's Bachelor of Science certificate and refused to provide her document needed to get a passport or visa in 1997. It is believed Sun Wei has changed her name to Sun Xian. The case began to draw extensive public attention near the end of 2005 after an ID named Sky One Line posted on one of the largest Chinese online bulletin boards, Tianya Club, again questioning the innocence of the suspect and her family's role in blocking investigation and prosecution of the case. So dodgy. In response, after over 10 years of silence, on December 30th, 2005, the main suspect, Sun Wei, released a statement proclaiming her innocence, which was confirmed by a weekly newspaper, apparently. According to the statement, the suspect was identified as the only student, with official access to thallium in her experiment for undergraduate research. But why was she the only one who could access the
thallium?
Because
she's probably the only one who was using it for her research. It's like, I was probably the only honor student who had access to H. pylori. Because I was the only honest student who did that.
Infect people with it.
Yeah, but that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that you have, some people have certain access to certain chemicals because they're using those chemicals for their research.
Yeah, okay.
But that might not have always... Yeah, that's not a chemical that everyone have access.
Yeah. She was detained by the police department on April 2nd, 1987 and signed a paper acknowledging she was a suspect. Sunwee's family retrieved her from the police after 8 hours of interrogation. In her statement, she also claimed that, according to the law, she was cleared as a suspect in August 1998. However, in a Morning News Post report dated March 2006, Zuling's lawyer, Zhang Ji, said of the suspect, she was only exempted from the compulsory measure that she was subjected to as a suspect at that time, but not excluded from suspicion. Internet discussion of the crime continues to this day. Since then, and became hot topic on major online Chinese communities frequently as a high-profile unsolved case. A hacker who claimed he had hacked into the email of one of Sun Wei's classmates revealed communications purporting to be between Sun and the suspect and several of their classmates, showing Sun Wei was guiding them how to post on forums to declare her innocence, and they were preparing for Sun's statement in 2005. Dodgy bitch.
Dodgy.
Among the internet users in the discussion, many people speculate that the main suspect has not been charged due to her family's connections. Sun Wei's grandfather is Sun Yukui, who was an important member of Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference as a senior leader of Revolutionary Committee of the Chinese Kuomintang, and her first cousin once removed, Sun Fuling, was deputy mayor of Beijing from 1983 to 1993 and vice chairperson of Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference from 1998 to 2003. So she's got bloody connections everywhere. And they're protecting her dodgy ass.
Yeah.
So 2013, there was a White House petition. An online White House petition on the whitehouse.gov website was created on May 3rd, 2013, demanding investigation on the major suspect who was believed living in the US at the time. The number of signatures reached the 100,000 goal 3 days later after it was created. This online campaign also drew great attention from US and Chinese mainstream media about Zhu Ling's family and the cold case. On July 28, 2015, the White House declined comment on the petition, saying Zhu Ling's poisoning, this is in quotation marks, Zhu Ling's poisoning in 1995 was a tragedy. No young person deserves to suffer as she has, and we can understand the heartbreak of those close to her. We decline, however, to comment on the specific request in your petition, as the "we the people" terms of participation explain. To avoid the appearance of improper influence, the White House may decline to address certain procurement, law enforcement, adjudicatory, or similar matters properly within the jurisdiction of federal departments or agencies, federal courts, or state and local government. Dodgy. That's awful.
Yeah.
The
government is basically saying that we don't want to get involved.
Yeah, thus the matter serves as a vehicle for expression of public dissatisfaction with corruption and abuse of power by the political elite associated with the regime. And this poor girl's left. Bullshit, she's still alive, and she's bloody, disabled now. And it's
other bullshit, persons. But not unexpected.
Really?
Chinese government did weird shit. They still do weird shit, covering things up. Yeah. It's not unexpected. It's not unexpected for a lot of governments to cover shit up.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to let a relative of very important political people go to jail for killing someone.
Yeah. It's... Yeah. Still shit, though.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Thallium poison.
Yeah. Don't eat it.
Don't
ingest that shit.
No, just don't.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention that's on the periodic table is element number 81.
Oh, yeah. It's your favourite element, isn't it?
Yeah. Because it's my favourite. Yeah, obviously. 81.
That's our automatic cat feeder, feeding our cats.
Thallium. Don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
Frank's looking very tired.
I'm very tired.
I'm so sorry.
It's not your fault. Thallium.
thallium.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then. Interesting.
We'll leave it there.
Dark and creepy?
Yeah, a bit dark. We'll leave it there.
Lots of murderies. An Australian's obsession with thallium in the
50s. No, it's just a little copycat crime.
You reckon?
Yeah, I reckon.
This person got away with...
Yeah.
A lot of it was in Sydney as well.
Yeah,
the whole rat infestation. Yeah. Yes. Say no to rat poison. Thanks again to our patrons. We love you.
We love you. Alrighty then.
Alrighty then, creepers.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Stop.
Mm-hmm.